Dear friends, here we are again, and I'm so pleased to continue together with you our study of the book of Revelation. Last time we met, we looked through the three first verses, that is, the introduction, revealing the transmission chain. This revelation of Jesus Christ given to his angel, who in turn gave it to John, and so on. We also noticed the testimony brought by John about this event, and we concluded with the Beatitude, the happiness which results in studying this very text. Let us now see what follows as we remain in the introduction of the book, which introduction consists of greetings. So, may I invite you to open the book of Revelation chapter 1, and we'll read verses 4 to 8. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. We have here John's greetings sent to the churches in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which greetings we shall see in detail. Obviously, this message was sent to the mentioned churches in Asia, and we shall see those churches later. These are written documents which have been copied during John's time and dispatched to the mentioned churches. It is most probable that the churches passed them on to one another, thus allowing us to think that many copies of the text of Revelation must have been made. In this instance, John is asked to send the message to seven churches, seven particular churches. There were, in fact, at that time, more than seven churches in Asia. So, sending the message to seven churches must have a symbolical value. Number seven signifies a perfect number. So, forwarding the text to seven churches means, in fact, sending it to all churches everywhere and regardless of time. There are indeed elements which will guide us in a certain direction. A look at the circuit will be of great help. This diagram shows us that there is a real circuit. And when one gets to Laodicea, one can find a road named Ephesus Road, which brings one back to Ephesus. There is evidently something that indicates a circuit. This is an invitation for a journey, and I invite you to accompany me in this trip. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. Grace and peace to you. Generally, Revelation is known as a book of war, plagues, and injuries, and is not often being considered as a book of grace and peace. However, Jesus introduced himself as the one offering this very grace and peace. We may read the same greetings in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. Let's turn to this verse, chapter 22, verse 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Consequently, we must consider this book as a book of peace. It is true that it reveals difficult things, but its aim is giving peace to the readers. So, Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. We meet here with three entities. First of all, the one who is, who was, and who is to come. And we can understand that he is God, God the Father. The second entity, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, most certainly the Holy Spirit, and from Jesus Christ. These three entities reveal that the greetings is triune. And yet, we will see that the title given to God the Father is also attributed to His Son. We shall come to this in a broader sense later. So, let us take the first person. From Him who is, who was, and who is to come. This title is attributed to Jesus, as we shall see a little later in the text, verse 8. We read, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. We know that later in the text, Alpha and Omega is a title given to Jesus. Consequently, it is Jesus who is designated here. The one who is, who was, and is to come also means the one who is beyond time, who is not being constrained by time, who exists throughout eternity. May I remind you how God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush? Let's read this in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 14. Exodus 3, 14. And God said unto Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am who I am. That is the one who is beyond time, who was, who is, and who is to come. Yahweh, an unpronounceable name in Hebrew, is in fact a form of the verb to be, which can be translated or translates at the same time, the past, the present, and the future. This mutual communion between the Father and the Son, this divine communion will be specified by Jesus himself. I invite you to read with me in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. Amazing words. Words by which he will be accused of blasphemy. And we see the same idea in the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 19. We read, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. The second entity, the second person who sends these greetings, is the seven spirits who are before the throne. We shall encounter with these seven spirits a little later, in chapter 4, verse 5. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And this certainly brings us to understand that these lamps are those that shine above the candlesticks. The candlestick itself does not provide any light, but the lamp beyond does. And this lamp is the Holy Spirit.
Mais la lampe qui est éclairée au-dessus du chandelier, c'est l'esprit.
Thus, at the end of chapter 1, we'll discover that the candlesticks represent the churches. Let's read the end of chapter 1, verse 20. And the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. From this, we can understand that the Holy Spirit is going to manifest Himself among God's people. He is the lamp that enlightens the candlestick. And a church that does not shine through the Holy Spirit, that does not have the Holy Spirit, will not shine at all. Jesus has called us to be the light of the world. And this light has no sense unless He be the light of the world and that we just reflect this light which He has given us. Let us move a little further in our text, and as we proceed, we'll see that the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. In the seven messages to the churches, it is Christ Himself who addresses the churches. But at the end, it is the Holy Spirit who invites each church and each one in the church to listen to what He has to say. The third person greeting, found in verse 5, is Jesus Himself. Grace to you and peace from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. I would like to stress for a while on this title, faithful witness. He is indeed the faithful witness because He renders faithfully the message given to Him by His Father, and He Himself will tell us that He does and says nothing which He has not received from the Father. We have here with this faithful witness the same title from the Old Testament which we can read now in Psalm 89, verses 36 and 37. His seed shall endure forever, and His throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. This text is telling us something amazing. In this passage, that is the Psalm of Ethan, it is about promises made to David, and the author is astonished that these promises don't seem to be fulfilled. Same promises can be read at the beginning of the following passage, verses 1 to 5. Contemplation of Ethan the Israelite, I will sing the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn by my servant David, your seed I will establish forever and build your throne to all generation. Your seed I will establish forever. But when Ethan utters these words, David's descendants are no longer on the throne, and his kingship is no more what it used to be. So how is God going to realize this promise? Thus, Ethan tells us that there is a witness in heaven who has recorded God's promises. And how are they going to be fulfilled? This text from Revelation is telling us that this witness in heaven who has listened to the promises of God, this witness is Jesus. The faithful witness is indeed Jesus. And we shall see how He is going to fulfill them. He is not only the witness of promises, but He stands also sorty for them, and it is even He who will fulfill them. May we read together in the book of Isaiah, the prophet, chapter 55, verse 4. Indeed, I have given him as witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. This verse confirms that Jesus is established as witness, leader, and commander of the people. Let's go to verse 5. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and the nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. There is here reference to the proliferation of the gospel. Verse 3 is also quite interesting. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. This is how promises made to David will be fulfilled. Through Jesus as witness and prince of the welfare of his people, they will indeed find their fulfillment through Jesus, the witness and prince of the people. Which people become beneficiaries of promises made to David, and which promise will stand as a covenant for the people? Let us move forward in the text. First of all, Jesus is called to fulfill the promises made unto David on behalf of Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, and also the firstborn from the dead. This doesn't mean that Jesus is the first to be resurrected, but he is the very origin of resurrection, and no resurrection could have been made possible if it was not for Jesus raising from the dead. We could recall Moses' resurrection, the son of the widow of Sarepta, and many others. Jesus is the one leading. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the prince of the kings of the earth. Let us note how he is introduced this time, as prince of the kings of the earth. Consequently, it pleases me to tell you that reference is made to the text of Isaiah chapter 55, where Christ is being introduced as leader, as prince of kings of the earth. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. This is well known that Christ's sacrifice is absolutely necessary for our salvation. Verse 6, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. Now, how is it that we can be priests? We do not offer sacrifices. But you know that since Christ's coming to this earth, it is a question of a royal priesthood. We are all priests. We can see what was expected of the priests then in the Old Testament. Their function consisted not only in offering sacrifices of animals, they were also teachers. They taught the law, the knowledge of God. I would like to read from the book of Prophet Micah, chapter 3, verse 11. A head's judge or a bride, a priest's teach for pay, and a prophet's divine for money. In this verse, reproach is being made to the priests who teach for a salary. So the function of a priest is to teach. Then it is said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. We are going to continue this reading because it is said, Amen, for sure. And verse 7 ascertains, behold, he cometh with clouds. This fact of his coming with clouds can be seen also in the book of Daniel chapter 7, where it is said that the Son of Man comes with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. every eye shall see him. Jesus' coming will not be incognito. Every eye shall see him, even they which pierced him. Even those who have been his fiercest enemy will witness his return. And verse 7 adds, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Yes, the description of Jesus' return as presented in Revelation is not that glorious one we are used to see, because the text depicts what is witnessed by the reprobates. We can see that in Revelation chapter 19 too. We come now to the last verse of our study, Revelation 1:8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. We have here characteristics which are attributed to God as well as to Jesus. May I point out that the Old Testament has already pictured it this way? Let us read in the book of Prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These titles, which belong to God alone, is also attributed to Jesus. This may perhaps trouble us, but actually, Jesus came to restore God's image in us. This is the object of reconciliation spoken by Apostle Paul. Actually, to get reconciled, God does not need to change his way of looking at us. We have to look at him differently. Sometimes we understand salvation in quite a different manner. But the first step to salvation is the way we consider God. How do we look at God? The book of Revelation will change our perception of God. Consider this text as an opportunity for us to have a new perception on God, on his kindness, his love, his tactfulness, his tenderness. Do not look at all the wars which are described in this book, because God will speak to his people in his strict privacy. Accept this text as one speaking to your heart, and only then will you discover the treasures in store for you.